I was at a conference in Abbotsford this past weekend, and as I was driving, I got to just take in the beauty of the surrounding landscapes. And as I marveled at the different beauty, I started thinking about this series we're going into, looking at life through this man named Matthew. We're going to get into who he was, but I want you to consider that Matthew, in person, met the one who created the rolling hills of the Nicola Thompson River, the one who majestically paints the wilderness white with snow, the one, do we have PowerPoint back there? There we go. Yeah, good. The one with a word filled the void of darkness and emptiness with light. The one who placed the sun and the moon at just the right places that would sustain life, where humanity and animals would neither freeze nor burn up, where oceans would tide, where the world would be stabilized, its axis wouldn't wobble, the evening would be lit up, the earth would slow down in its rotation to give us a full 24-hour day. And thinking that Matthew met this one. Matthew met the one who created DNA, who put the complexity of information into such a small little atoms and put them all together. We marvel at what we can create. And yet, DNA, it's so brilliant and complex. This person, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, this person came face to face with Matthew. And he said to Matthew, "Come, follow me, be one of my disciples." This is not just an experience that Matthew had, but as we read from the scriptures, Peter had this experience. His brother had this experience. A guy named John had this experience. His brother had that experience. Masses of people had this experience. And when they encountered him, they flocked to him wherever he went. And it makes sense. Jesus was God in the flesh moving into the neighborhood. The great physician, the great healer, the great creator. This Jesus we read about and hear about in the scriptures, Colossians 1. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on earth, he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has revealed himself and is revealing himself in creation, and through his presence and through his spirit at work in this world. And today, in this new year of 2020, God is present here, saying to you explicitly through the word, through the proclamation of the word, come, follow me, be one of my disciples. So this is the focus this morning, to look at this invitation. Come, follow me, become one of my disciples. I want to examine it from a different, I want to see it afresh, and I want to examine it through Matthew's eyes, through our eyes and look at Jesus and all of who he is. So let's talk about who we follow. Where does your allegiance lie? Who do you follow? Do you follow anyone? Do you follow people on Twitter? Do you follow them on Facebook? What does following mean? Well, we can follow a line of thinkers. We can follow our families. We can follow a line of thought that says the universe is all that there is, all that there ever was, all that there ever will be. People, you can follow a line of thinking where you experience the brokenness and hurt and pain of this life, and like Job's wife, say, curse God and die. You can take up a line of thought where we're here for such a short time. I'm just going to live for me. I'm going to take in all the pleasures of this world, and I'm going to be true to me. Or, as our church holds, as many across centuries and across the world hold, that the true person we should follow is our Maker, our Creator, the one who made us, the one who sustained us, the one who has great plans for us, the one who's pursuing your heart, the one who's looking out for you, the one who wants to give all that is in store for your life. This God, as he reveals himself in Jesus. So who does your allegiance lie with? Who do you follow? What's your story? For Matthew, he was a man who was not really known for his loyalty. Well, except maybe to himself. He betrayed brothers, sisters, family members, fellow countrymen to advance his own life. He gave his allegiance to an empire that came in, destroyed his homeland, took over his nation, and ran his country. He became someone not unlike the Jews working for Nazi Germany at Holocaust camps. He collected taxes for a foreign empire. The way he made his money was whatever money he could scam off the people after he filled his quota was his to keep. So as fellow Israelites would be impoverished, and he's the one who's got the nice clothes, living in the right part of the city, flashing jewelry. He made his money off of his fellow countrymen, off of fellow brothers and sisters of Israel. And if you wouldn't meet his demands, he could force you, using the power of one of the greatest empires of this world, to make you pay in one way or another. Matthew had sold out. He'd sold out to the Roman Empire. He'd sold out to himself, but he'd sold out himself. How did it happen? How did life get this way? We don't know. We don't know. Was it bit by bit? Was it life not working out the way he wanted? Was it him getting even? Was it a promotion here, a promotion there, a job opportunity taken? Was it the people he started hanging out with who were slowly leading him away from the person he knew he was made by and called for? We don't know. What we do know is that he's introduced to us through his introduction to Jesus. Matthew, the tax collector, dating back to early church history, is attributed to writing the Gospel of Matthew that we have in front of us. He doesn't sign his own name on this document, this Greco-Roman biography. We don't know why. What we do know is very, very little about this man. But we know this. He had a meeting with Jesus, and it changed his life. This meeting with Jesus that changed his life, we have three sentences of it. Let me read it to you. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. That's it. That's all we got in this meeting. Jesus comes to him. Does he say his name? No, he just comes to Matthew. And he says, "Follow me and be my disciple." And as simple as that, Matthew, who's been living life way off track, all of a sudden, okay, I'm a follower of Jesus now. He gets up, leaves his old life, leaves his way of betraying his people, and follows Jesus. What on earth happened there? How did he do that? How does one just change their life like this? There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions we human beings have about this life. A lot of questions we ask Google. Google, explain what the moon does. I was going through this morning. Google, tell me about this. But Google can't get at the main purposes for our life. Our big whys, and this big why of why should I follow Jesus? We're examining this question of for our lives to come. It's not a question, it's a statement. Come follow me, be my disciple. Jesus' question to Matthew, as through God's timeless word, it's our question here in 2020. So the question is, why follow Jesus? Why follow Jesus? In my old job with Young Life, and I think this is what's happening with Matthew, I've already hinted at it before, we had such a belief that as we went into high schools, as we encountered young people who didn't know Christ, who'd never experienced him, our fundamental belief was that if teens could see Jesus for who he really is, they couldn't not but help falling in love with him. And that's my conviction. It's my experience. And I think that this is what's going on with Matthew. He came face to face with the Creator. He came face to face with God in the flesh, and he couldn't not fall in love with him. He couldn't not give his life to him. We have so many questions in life, and yet I think when we come face to face with God in his glory, they don't become as important anymore. In our series, we're spending 9 weeks in Matthew's account of the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. So we're not going to go through the whole book, but we're going to take 9 weeks to really stop about what's it mean to be a follower of Jesus. We're going to consider Matthew's life. We're going to consider our lives. And we're going to consider Jesus for all of who he is. My hope is that as we say that one of the main things that we're about, that we'll grow in what it means to follow Jesus. Because out of anything we could say as a church, we've keyed in on three key bullet points, mottos that define who we are as North Star Church, that will define us in 2020 and moving forward. And one of them is following Jesus. And the other two are equipping each other and sharing the gospel. And then you'll see at the bottom, transform lives. This is the result of these three practices. Following Jesus, equipping each other, and sharing the gospel results in transformed lives. Just like we see in Matthew. following Jesus. It's worth spending 9 weeks to start our year. This is what we're all about. My hope is that you'll grow in understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. My hope is that if you don't follow Jesus with your life, that you're going to seriously consider what it means to follow Jesus. My hope is that if you've had quite a few trips around the sun following Jesus, that you're not going to be saying, I already know this. I got all this. The Gospels, I've read those before. That's not a posture of following Jesus. There are certain postures we hold where we can say, I know, but then we don't pay attention to Jesus' words. We hear the invitation, and then we don't do it. That's not following. To say, I invited Jesus into my life in 2006 or 1993 or 1965, it was one and done, baby. That's it. That's not following. Following involves action. Following involves action. Matthew himself writes these words that challenge us. He quotes Jesus. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, saying, I'm a Christian, I've accepted him as Lord and Savior, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That is a challenging word. It's a status quo, one and done. I invited Jesus into my life, but I don't follow him. If you're passive-aggressively standing against his commands, where you pick and choose which ones to follow, that's not following. If you're just not making a decision, well, I don't know what to think, that's not following either. There's a lot of things of what entails as not following. So that's why we're going to talk about what it means to follow Jesus in this series. This week, it's worth just stopping, like full stop here. What's the invitation? The invitation is to come follow me, be a disciple. We're going to invite, next week, we're going to look at what's it mean to invite Jesus in, to start following, first steps. We're going to get into what's the big stuff of following Jesus. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty little things of following Jesus. We're going to get into what's the costs to following Jesus. And we're going to get into what's the mission of following Jesus. Because if this is a huge aspect of our vision, if it all starts with following Jesus, then we want to be students of Jesus. We want to be good students of who we say we are. We want to take that seriously. So this is the invitation to come in and let's look at our Savior. Let's look at our Savior through Matthew's eyes and let's look at our lives again. Whether it's from the outside going, what's this Jesus all about? Or as a follower, another trip around the sun, so to speak, to grow and mature as his disciples in what it means to follow him. The Son of Man came and said, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. There's aspects of our lives that we need to repent, to turn from, in order to follow Jesus. It's an ongoing work in all of our lives. It's never one and done. It's ongoing. Why follow Jesus? Because Jesus is the one who initiates the kingdom of God here on earth. He's the one who started the process where heaven is coming down to earth. We're in a new epoch of history where the kingdom of God has started. It's been brought. God started it by coming in the flesh. The Holy Spirit has come in as Jesus ascended into heaven, and it continues. God's kingdom is breaking into this world, and he invites us into it. And it's not fully yet arrived. He will come back one day to fully initiate the process of heaven and earth joining. And we say, yes, can't wait for all that's not right in this world to be joined all that's not right in this world to be made right, for justice to come, for heaven to come fully into our lives. Do you long for that? Do you long for heaven to come fully into your life? Yeah. Why follow him? Because he's going to bring heaven into your life like no one else can. Why follow him? Because he said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. He's given you life. He sustains your life. He's the maker of your life. He's your future. It's all about following him. There's so much to say. I want to share my story, but briefly before we get there, why follow Jesus, this other piece. We were just in this whole section in Daniel, right? 6th century BC, prophesying that God was coming in flesh and blood. Let me again read Daniel 7, 13 to 14. And if you missed any of the series from Daniel, you can find that on our website. Daniel says, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient one and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, sovereignty over all the nations of the world so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Jesus comes and identifies himself as that very one. He's the Son of Man is his very name for himself. And he says in Matthew 18:11, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. This was his purpose, his why he came. Matthew 28, the very end of Matthew's gospel, ends like this. Jesus comes ascended, resurrected after death on a cross. He says, I've been given, what? All authority in heaven and on earth. That's meant to trigger this Daniel prophecy. And here's what you do with it. I've got power to reign over the kingdoms of this world. And as my followers, here's what you're to now do. Go. There's action. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God's given you the authority you need to carry out the purposes that he's calling you to. And this is this whole process of growing. I'm taking these commands, this instruction, teach me. This is the posture of a disciple, to be taught. So as we consider Jesus' words to come, follow me, be one of my disciples, I want to invite you this week, maybe starting this afternoon, start writing down, consider, what's it mean to take up this invitation to follow Jesus for my life? And I really want to invite you, if you've never done this before, to really consider these words, process this. Let this be something that you're continually processing over your week. Make this your main thing this week. If this is something you've already processed for your life, I'm pretty sure that maturity means going deeper, means taking it to the next level. My encouragement is take one aspect of your life and go, what's this mean for me at work? What's it mean for me to follow Jesus at work? How am I going to do that? What does that mean? Does it mean, hey, I need to start having my quiet time with God in the morning and being in the scripture and having a time of prayer, or in the evening because I'm a morning person and that's going to stay with me? Is it that I'm going to come in asking this question of God each day, going, God, where do I see you in my workplace? How can I follow you? Ask yourself some good questions of what it means to follow you in one area of your life. And if you want to take it to the next level, go for it. Get the next area of your life. But start with one. I want to share about, just to conclude, I want to share about my journey. Essentially, how I decided to follow Jesus. Briefly, what it looked like and why I follow him. And do all that in 3 to 4 minutes. I sat in chairs like these growing up, and I heard the good news of Jesus and experienced the love of God in church community. And then as I got older, I guess my allegiance became more to myself. My concerns were for myself and the things that I was more interested in. And church kind of became on again, off again, and intermittent times. And yet, the church continued to point the good news to me. And then I experienced the second community that was a lot like my church family. And it was this ship called Logos 2 that was in port in my hometown of Nanaimo, this international crew. And I got to hear stories of people experiencing Jesus and taking up the call to come follow him and be his disciple. And then a woman about my mom's age, offhand, as we were doing some jobs on the ship, asked me, "What's your story?" I knew she didn't want a whole detailed background on my life, but she was asking, "What's your story with following Jesus?" I knew it. And here's what I said. I don't have one. I was a young adult. I hadn't processed what it meant to follow Jesus for my life. I'd been taught as a child, but I hadn't processed the implications of what it means to follow Jesus. I felt the conviction in my heart that I wasn't following God and his purposes in my life. And I also wanted Jesus in my life. I wanted him to take the lead where I'd been the one behind the steering wheel. It was a simple thing. I prayed, "Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Take the steering wheel. Be my guide. Be my leader." A simple prayer, and yet God came in and was in control, and my life changed in that I started helping people. It wasn't just about me. I started serving in my youth group. I started serving my town. I started telling people about Jesus. My life was changing because God was in control. I was finding parts of myself that were never there before because God was there now. And as I read these scriptures, they came alive. It wasn't some old account that I probably should read. I was meeting with God himself, speaking into my life in the here and now. My heart changed, and all of a sudden I'm loving, and I can't stop talking about just caring for high school students. And I end up going down this path of like, well, how can I get better at this? How can I learn more in my relationship with God? I'm serving, and then I ended up going to school and taking things in that direction. And each step, what would I share? There's so many things to say. Let's just say that I can relate to the disciples' stories in different ways. I can relate to Matthew getting up from his tax collector booth and starting a new life. I can relate to Peter pulling coins out of fish, pulling checks out of mailboxes that seemingly shouldn't be there. I can relate to costs of the disciples in following Jesus. I can relate to going to the next town, to telling the people in the next town about how good our Savior is. I can relate to the power of God at work in our life, and I'm awed at that. My life is forever changed. I follow Jesus simply because He is Jesus. He is God. And I think that that's true of Matthew, and I invite you to consider that for your own lives. Why follow Jesus? Because when you encounter Him, you can't not but fall in love with Him. I invite you in this journey over these 9 weeks. Don't miss a week. If you miss a week, hear it on the website, but let's dig into this. Let's dig into this for the year. Dig into it this week for yourself. These words, this invitation from Jesus, come follow me, be my disciple. What's your story? Let's start living into it. Let's pray.